Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back, quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle. Back here, we have broken down the last four commitments, talked about the opening as well. And I think with the assumption here that things are going to slow down just a little bit as we start to look ahead to training camp, the 2019 season, and the inevitability that that things have to slow down, we're going to look at Penn State's 2020 class as a whole, and particularly the last couple weeks, which have been so action-packed, starting with decommitments in the early part of June, gave way to some new commitments then, and then a run of 12 commitments since June 21st. So they now have the number 11 class in the country on Rivals, number 10 in the 24/7 Sports Composite, number 3 class in the Big Ten. And what looked like such an uncertain and trying time has now been replaced by overall, I think, pretty good vibes. But it needs to be pointed out that you are not talking about fours and five stars who have been the bulk of the new commitments recently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think 15 out of 20 are three stars in the 24/7 Sports Composite. So my question to you, Greg, just as we're looking at the class as a whole, is this class really top 10 good? Or is there a little bit of fool's gold in here just with, you know, there is a mathematical equation that spits out where these classes rank, and, you know, a good number of classes in front of Penn State, a handful behind them have a shot to jump over them, have fewer commitments. So 20 commitments, top 10 classes, is that sticking around or is it not?
Well, I think right now it's math, you know, obviously when you pull out, and I think one thing that, you know, we could probably do a better job of as an industry is explaining what rankings we use. So the 247 Sports Composite is generally considered, I think by both of us and most people who follow this, the gold standard, because it combines the rankings from ESPN, Rivals, and 247 Sports into one industry consensus, if you will. And that gives you a pretty good idea of not only, you know, some guys might be a four-star here, three-star there, it helps balance it out, but it also, you know, it takes some of the guesswork out of play, and it also helps when some stuff, because some of these services are very heavy in some areas of the country and light in other parts of it, and I think they balance each other out pretty nicely. So if you look at the current 247 Sports Composite Top 10, Alabama and Clemson Center, of course, number two, LSU's third. And their score right now is about, you know, anywhere from 60 to 80 points higher than Penn State's. And, you know, Alabama and LSU both have 20 commits as well. Clemson has 18. But, you know, I think that this is Penn State's top 10 class at the moment because of the math, just having more commits than a lot of other schools. But I do think that when the ratings bumps are done and this class signs come the first week of December, I'm sorry, the first signing period, the third week of December, rather, I think this will be a top 10 class on merit, not just numbers. I do think we're going to see some of these guys slide up the chart a little bit. And when that happens, that'll make this class more of a guaranteed top 10, if you will, as opposed to maybe what it is now, which is, you know, a math problem or a math benefit at this point in time.
And if to circle back about the conversation we had, I think in quarter number one, about the ability to maybe take more than 25 in the cycle and to be able to backlog as many as three of them. They took 22 in the 2019 cycle. If they are able to do that, which I would love to have, you know, ironclad confirmation of that. I think it's fair to guess and speculate that Penn State would have the ability, if they wanted to take as many as 28. If that were a possibility, then the math tilts in Penn State's favor to stay in the top 10. So if you look at, I do think, and maybe more than anything, some of these JUCO guys and some of these lesser guys, as they start to play out their senior seasons, and the very fact that they got Penn State offers and committed is going to help put them a little bit more on the radar than before they were, before Penn State came along and right. offered. So I think you're going to see at least a handful of bumps based on merit, based on the Penn State offer, and then based on what they do on the field as well. The idea that Curtis Jacobs, the linebacker, I do think there's a possibility, given the way that he's tested and performed and competed so hard against some of the nation's best players over the last 4 to 6 weeks. I think that there's a chance that he moves from, I think he's like number 107 in the 24/7 composite,
right,
to be maybe being a top 50 type player.
Yeah, I don't
not think a five star, but right, of the highest of four stars.
Right. So, I mean, I think that when you look at, you know, this class overall, I don't know if you have anyone. If Curtis Jacobs isn't jumping the five stars, and I don't think that he's going to, I think that we're on the same page there, that he might get close, but not that close. Then I don't think any of the other guys in this class are going to jump up to five-star status either. I don't really see any five-star guys on the board. Maybe Theo Johnson becomes a five-star, and that Penn State gets him down the road. That could be the five-star in this class, but a lot of other schools are pushing for him. So I think you'll see some of these guys take a step up, though, when it comes to their rankings. I just don't... I feel like some of these guys are a little undervalued, maybe because of where they come from. Some of them have offers that indicate that maybe they should be a four-star but aren't. And I think that
I'm glad you're mentioning all this, because we are going to talk about undervalued in quarter number four.
Beautiful.
Of the Keystone
nice
Kickoff Show.
Yeah. Nice segue. I love it. You know, Cole Brevard's a guy who's a four-star right now. Jaden Dotton, Kaziah Izzard is a really good player. I don't see him getting that five-star bump either, though. You know, there's so more and more, it seems like there's fewer five-stars than maybe there's been. They're talking about 30, 35 guys, it seems like, at absolute most.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you lost out on Julian Fleming and Brian Brisee to two guys that you figured would be the five stars or that could have been the five stars in this class, it sort of you know, put the likelihood of that taking place, having a five star in this class, that kind of took a back seat. Right now, in the 247 Sports Composite, there's 29 five stars. And I believe all but one of two, three, let's just do this, four, five, six, seven. Like half of those kids aren't committed yet, but none of them are really on Penn State's radar either.
Rivals has 25 five stars, which that should be roughly what you're looking at, around the top 25 players in the country. And I think barring a flip of Julian Fleming, which I would say is very unlikely right now, Penn State probably doesn't finish with a five-star in its class. Doesn't mean that it can't be a really good class.
Right.
Also doesn't mean that just because a huge majority are three-stars doesn't mean that they're not good players either. So take the star ratings with a grain of salt, as always, I would say. But on the subject of star ratings, and I've seen this theme come up when I've accidentally read comment sections and replies to tweets and that kind of thing. There's definitely a faction of Penn State fans out there, a vocal minority, and I suspect it's a pretty small minority, who are so anti-James Franklin and so don't believe in where things are going, even though I would say the last 3 years of football have been pretty good by and large. But see him, you know, come up short in these big games against your Michigans and Ohio States and Michigan States, and I get that. But that same faction, I think, is the one that is saying, you know, look at how he's recruiting. A guy like James Franklin, who can't coach, can't win with three-star players. So I guess my question would be, if this is what Penn State is in the 2020 cycle, probably won't be that way in the 2021 cycle, if I'm guessing. But if they're going to go the Michigan State route and try to cultivate and develop three-stars in the absence of a huge majority of five-stars and four-stars, can Penn State win that way?
I think it's not like
they're in poverty, by the way, on the recruit, because right, 2018 and 19 were so good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends how you define win. Can they win Big Ten title, get into the college football playoff? You know, I think the blue chip ratio is quite clear at this point, that if you don't have more four and five stars than three and fours on your roster, you're probably not going to compete for the titles that the program and the fans want to compete for. So can you have multiple classes like this? I don't think so. Can you have a couple? Yeah, I mean, you know, you're not going to hit on every year. You're not going to hit on every guy that you're supposed to get or should get or whatever. So to me, I think that, you know, the biggest thing is that Penn State has time to see if some of these guys move up. There's still some four stars on the board that can, you know, help bolster this class's ranking. And, you know, there's some guys in this class that could see a rise to, from three-star to four-star, and that would change the math as well. So, you know, the evaluation Penn State's been able to do over the last few years, I mean, nobody wanted Trace McSorley to play quarterback except for Penn State, and how'd that work out? You know, nobody really, I think, expected Deshaun Hamilton to become a star, and the guy ends up being, you know, one of the most productive receivers Penn State's ever had. There's a lot of other examples of this as well. Of course, there's examples where it hasn't worked out. There's always going to be that in recruiting. You're always going to have, you know, you're going to have four stars that flame out, and you're going to have three stars that play like five stars. It's just, you know, you're more likely to have four and five stars that play like four and five stars if they come in like that. But it doesn't mean the three-star guys can't be productive for you, can't produce for you, and can't get the job done.
So the difference, I think, between three and four stars, especially with the ones that Penn State is getting in this class, it's known commodities on a national level versus unknown commodities on the national level. I think the known commodities have a higher rate of panning out, but the more unknown commodities, they can be unknown for reasons that are just beyond their control. It might not have anything to do with what they do on the field. It could be their frame, could be where they're located, could be their offer sheet. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that suggests that some of these guys have a really good chance of panning out. And Penn State, as we touched on last week, if you didn't listen to it, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, we touched on just the three-star history under James Franklin. And I think by and large, it's a very, very good history of developing these types of guys.
Yeah.
We touched on this a little bit earlier. I'm curious, the thing that stands out most to you about this class, we mentioned the defensive lineman part of it. There's six defensive linemen out of 20, and five out of the top six players, according to the 24/7 composite, are on the defensive side of the ball in this class. So that's the thing that kind of stands out to me is the guys in the trenches and up the middle, linemen, linebackers, and defensive players are really the signatures in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, I think one thing that's kind of interesting is Penn State's had such success with running backs the last couple of years, and yet they do not have a running back in this class, which I think is a bit surprising. That said, you know, the reason for that is pretty simple. The guys that they're targeting the most at the position just aren't ready to decide yet, so you can't make commitments happen from guys that aren't ready to make commitments. So, you know, that plays a role. The other thing that stands out to me, Dustin, is that there's 11 different states represented in this class, and Penn State's best success so far has come in Maryland with four commitments from that state, three from Pennsylvania, three from Virginia, two from Michigan, two from New Jersey, and then one each from a handful of other states. So I think that, you know, they've been able to go out in this cycle and not just rely on the typical recruiting grounds. Don't get me wrong, they're always going to be good in Virginia, Pennsylvania, Maryland. Those states are always going to provide the bulk of the class in nine, I think, cases out of 10. But for Penn State to be able to go out to some different parts of the country, get a kid from Texas, get a kid from Nevada, and so on and so forth, I think shows what the brand has done over the last couple of years, where it's come and where it can go. So, you know, there's a lot more to talk about on this front because this class certainly isn't done growing.
Well, speaking of that, we're going to look at, you know, the 15 3-stars in this class and figure out who's undervalued, who might get a star ratings bump, and who might be a hidden gem. We'll tackle that right after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.